Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text this morning is the gospel lesson already read. The title for our thoughts this morning is something that I suspect we need to remind each other of, and we need to profess, and therefore we need to practice. And so go ahead and help me out and just repeat after me and say, neighbor,
neighbor.
Oh neighbor,
neighbor.
There's no retreat.
There's no retreat.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Dearly beloved in the Lord, there is a painting of a battle by the famous artist Botticelli. We'll call it Battle by Botticelli. That's not actually the name. That's just what we'll call it. See if you can picture it. Up at the top left hand, I guess this is your left hand, up here at the top left, you see an image of Jesus. He's wearing a red garment. He's got a blue cloak over him. And flanking him is one who's dressed up, I guess you might say, like a beggar. And he's directing Jesus to some stones. See where we're going? Well, up in the middle, again, high above everything, on the top of the temple, again, is Jesus flanked by this beggar, the devil. And they're looking at the scenery below. And then up to your right is one more picture of, or one more image of Jesus and the devil, high and lifted up on a cliff where the devil has tempted Jesus to bow down to him. And what's interesting is that's what's up above, but actually what takes the majority of the canvas is just a crowd of people doing what, I don't know, crowds of people do. They have no idea what's going on above them. That's the painting. It's a simple painting. There's no spectacle. And in this battle, there's no spear or sword. But this painting is depicting for you the battle of eternal significance. In all the battles of human history, this picture of Christ's temptation is finally the only battle that matters. Now, I think we kind of have to deal with something, because I have a hunch, maybe it's just me, maybe I'm just projecting, but it's difficult to see the temptation of Christ as a real battle. Because Jesus is God, and so you think, well, of course, he didn't submit to the temptations, he's God. Well, let's address that, and to do it, we need to do a little theology. Hang with me. Put on your thinking caps. You ready? Okay. We know that Jesus is fully God and fully man. Right? That you can do this. Okay. True God, true man. That's a paradox. In other words, that is something that holds up for us two truths that seem to contradict. And it's really hard to account for the other while you're thinking of the one. And this paradox is actually just true in the world. And to explore the implications here, I'd actually like to use an illustration from science. So those of you who are science buffs, you know that when scientists discovered the atom and the different particles, in particular the electron, they noticed something, that these electrons sometimes behaved like particles and sometimes behaved like waves. Somehow, both were true. An electron is a particle and a wave. Here's the thing. When you study an electron as a particle, then all of a sudden you've got these problems and anomalies with respect to its being a wave that you just can't account for. When you're thinking about an electron as a wave, it creates these problems and these anomalies that you can't account for in terms of it being a particle. Here's the implication. We can know the path an electron takes as it moves through space, or we can know it is where it's given at an instant, but we can't know both. Here's the implications for us as we're exploring Jesus' divinity and humanity. Both are true. And when they're true, we have a hard time understanding the one in terms of the other, and there seems to be things that would be contradictory. So we, in essence, kind of have to toggle back and forth as we are thinking about our Lord Jesus. We have to toggle back and forth between his humanity and his divinity. Have I thoroughly confused you? If you're confused, that's okay. Here's the point. Today, I'm inviting us to focus on Jesus' humanity so that we can appreciate the fact that these temptations of Jesus are true, deeply felt temptations. You know how you deal with temptations? That experience, that struggle. Jesus knows exactly what that's like. And these temptations brought with them the real possibility that Jesus could have fallen. It is possible that when tempted to turn stones into bread, Jesus could have fallen to the temptation to take care of his physical needs at the expense of the spiritual truth. In other words, he could have not trusted God and taking care of himself, his physical needs by himself. It's a real temptation. It was a real temptation for Jesus not to trust the Father, but instead to demand that God prove himself and rescue him if he fell down, if he threw himself off the temple. It's a real temptation. It was a real temptation. When you think about what Jesus came to do, when you think about the fact that Jesus came to bear the sins of the world and then to suffer hell and death on the cross, that's the job. It is certainly a real temptation when the devil says, all you have to do is just bow down to me once and it's all yours. Those were real temptations where Jesus really could have fallen to the devil. Think about that for a minute. Think think about that, especially when you consider how we have fallen so easily to temptation. How easy for us to think that our money matters or the physical needs are what matters, and so we stress out and we lash out thinking that those physical issues are more important than our spiritual relationship with the Lord. That He is not, and we entertain the idea that God's not taking care of us and we have to take care of ourselves. It has been an easy temptation for us to think that though God has created us, though He has given us so many gifts, He's preserved us, how many times have we asked God to justify Himself to us, to prove Himself? Prove to me that you're real. Prove to me that you care. When His care and provision is all around us. And it has been easy for us to fall into the temptation where just bow down once. No one else is going to know. No one else is going to suffer. We've actually entertained the idea that it's safe and good to do a deal with the devil because that will give for us whatever we thought we desperately needed. And the thing is, the devil really didn't even have to work that hard to get us to fall down and submit to him. Finally, a human overcomes. Finally, there is a human being who's gone toe-to-toe with the devil, and he does not submit, not even once. He didn't just, by the way, suffer three temptations. He was perfect the whole time. His entire life. In other words, the devil was after Jesus, not simply in these three instances. He was always after Jesus. And each time, whatever the temptation, Jesus, he didn't fall. I mean, think about it. If you're Jesus, and if you have to deal with all the clowns that Jesus had to deal with, how easy would it have been to just once tell somebody where they can get off? How many times would it have been so good for Jesus to say, enough! I'm going to take care of me now. Not once. Not once. Let's do a little math. Jesus, in his earthly ministry, lived 33 years. Take that times 365 days, you get 12,045 days. You take 12,045 days times 24 hours a day, and you get 289,080 hours that Jesus lived. You take that times 60 minutes, you get 17,344,800 minutes that Jesus lived. Take that times 60 seconds, and you get a really big number. And every moment, Jesus trusted and loved the Father perfectly. Every moment, Jesus acted in pure love for his neighbor. Go back to that painting I told you about, the Battle by Botticelli, and up there at the right, the last temptation, you actually see the devil, his beggar's clothes have fallen off, and he's falling backwards. Finally, there is a human being that overcame the devil. Ever since Adam and Eve, everyone else has fallen, even the best of us. And yet now there is one person. It is good to finally know. That's why I'm clapping. Isn't it good to simply, if we just knew this, that there is finally one human being who actually overcame the devil and did not fall once. That we could be done right there, and that'd give us something to think about and to celebrate. But you know that this story gets better. Because now, Jesus' victory stands for everyone else's victory. He wins, which means we win. Go back to your Sunday school stories for just a minute. Story of David and Goliath. Goliath is taunting the Israelites and saying, tell you what, we don't have to do a big battle. Just send one dude, one guy out here to fight me, and if I win, you guys will be our servants. If he wins, then we will be your servants. Of course, nobody wants to do that until finally David says, I'm your guy. Goliath, 9 feet tall, covered in heavy armor, with a spear, we're told, like a weaver's beam, comes at David. David, little guy, comes with 5 smooth stones. That's all he's got. Turns out that's all he needed. Actually, he only needed one. He takes one little stone, right between the eyes, Goliath falls. David cuts off Goliath's head, and the Philistines scatter. Their champion has lost. Israel has won. One man fought, and yet all of Israel is the victor. That's the way it is. Jesus stands in our place against the devil, does not fall once, and the devil goes back and figures out, well, there's got to be another way. Finally, the devil thinks he has it when he conspires with sinful men and orchestrates the death of Jesus Christ. Not just any death, but that shameful death and suffering of hell on the cross. And finally, the devil says, I got the job done. A little harder this time, but finally I win. Let me back up. Here's one thing I want to share with you. I just kind of think this is an interesting detail. When Jesus comes against the devil, he comes with 5 books. That is, he's got the 5 books of Moses that he could use against the devil and his temptations, but he only needs one. With every temptation that the devil gives, Jesus only uses the book of Deuteronomy to respond. That's all he needed. Now go back to the fact that Jesus continues that perfect life. He does battle with the devil on the cross. The devil thinks he wins. And then 3 days later, Jesus stands and says, was that the best you could do? And Jesus' victory is your victory. Hebrews 2:14 says, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, Jesus himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil. Jesus endured real temptations because he's a real human. and he has real suffering. There was a real death, but there was also a real resurrection. He wins, and that means you win. His victory is the victory for all the people. Huddle up. If you checked out, check in. Huddle up. Come here. Come here. Because here's something you really need to know. The devil knows that he's lost. So what you need to know is that his tactic now is to try to convince you that you've lost. He knows he can't convince God or Jesus. He knows he's lost, but what the devil wants to do is bring to you your past. He wants to put in front of you your sin, your shame, your regrets, because he wants you to be confused and he wants you to retreat. He wants you to entertain the notion that somehow God's grace does not include you, that it's too late. That painting I told you by Botticelli, the battle by Botticelli, what you need to know is that right there in the front and center is a person, this man who's wearing a white robe. He's looking pretty healthy. And he comes bringing to the priests the sacrifices needed for a leper who's been cleansed. Because that's who he is. He is a cleansed leper. Because Jesus, who himself suffered and defeated the devil, gave him the victory and the healing. So there he stands, whole and healed. Can you picture that? Try to picture that, because that is actually an image of you. You are innocent. I don't know if you believe me. You are innocent. You have nothing to be ashamed of, nothing to regret. The leprosy of your sin is gone forever. The devil lost. He's judged. The deed is done. One little word can fell him. So when the devil comes showing you your sin, you show him your Savior. Jesus is on the attack. Do you know that? You've been watching too much TV. Jesus is on the attack. This whole book here is a story about how Jesus is advancing. All of history is the story of Jesus on the advance. This day is the day of salvation. It is another day where Jesus is on the advance. Right here at this altar, Jesus feeds you his body and blood. So watch this. He would not turn stones into bread to heal himself, to take care of himself, but he will turn bread into his body to save you. Because right now, today, he is on the advance. So whatever the devil has set up, he's judged. He's undone. He's lost. There is for us no retreat. There might be times where we need rest. There is times of recovery. There is times where we need to reevaluate. The devil's judged. The deed is done. There is no retreat. In Jesus' name. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.